RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to the Family First What Is a Woman petition. Last year, Family First NZ launched and endorsed a petition titled What Is a Woman? Since it has garnered over 23,000 signatures, and it's to be presented to Leader of New Zealand First, Winston Peters, and New Zealand First MP, Tania Unkevich, to talk about this and more. The Director of Family First New Zealand, Bob McCroskrey, is back with us. G'day, Bob. How are you?
Hiya, Paul. Good to be with you.
Good. First, I saw your video piece from in front of the White House lawn. I've actually stood at that exact spot, yeah. So it took me back. That was in Bush senior years, and I remember the foam spraying fire truck, because it said it on the side, turning up, then Marine One landing. That's the helicopter, and yeah. Barbara Bush and a little doggy emerging off in the distance with all the Secret Service people around. That took me back. Was there a foam spraying fire truck there when you were there?
No, well, they don't have to worry about that type of stuff, because I don't think Biden goes anywhere. He's either always at his home in Delaware or he's at the beach, so... Yeah, there didn't seem to be a lot of action, although the week I was there was when Benjamin Netanyahu, actually Prime Minister of Israel, came to the country.
Right.
And so security was super tight around the whole Washington, D.C., especially on the day he spoke. And he did actually meet Kamala Harris and Joe Biden at the White House later in the week. But no, it was pretty quiet from what I could tell. I mean, it is a grand house to see. It's the type of thing on your bucket list. You just want to see it. You hear so much about it. But even just walking the mall and being outside the Supreme Court and the the House of Representatives, it is a stunning area to be, despite all the rubbish that goes on there.
What about the homeless? Do you see many homeless? Because I remember the homeless from there too.
No, actually, it was barely noticeable. That was an interesting aspect. Now that you say that, I didn't see any evidence of that. Maybe they did a San Francisco and they cleaned it up for special visits. Yeah.
Well, they were all occupying the traffic light islands when I was there. You know, they had little tents on there. They were mostly veterans. I knew that because they had signs up. This is going back over 30 years. Yeah.
No, well, I think they've all shifted either to Hawaii or Los Angeles.
Maui.
Yeah, Maui, yep. Yeah.
All right, let's get into this petition launched how long ago?
It was launched a year ago, and of course there was that big furor because of the fact that we wanted to put a full-page ad in the major daily newspapers,
right.
And they all conspired together to ban it, which is kind of ironic because just in the last week there was a advert placed in the Herald talking about the foreshore and seabed, and that triggered a whole lot of people. And I don't know how the Hobson's Choice managed to get that advert in the paper. I mean, we couldn't even get an advert that says what is a woman. So it's either we've forced them to change their policy, or they just are really threatened by the definition of woman.
Or they need the money, Bob.
Well, they would have needed the money when we were offering it, but, you know, they saved us a truckload of money. So, but that's why I'm pretty stoked that we were able to get, you know, 23,500 signatures. Winston Peters, when he received it, said that, you know, this is a notable amount for a petition and therefore it should have a hearing. It should have its day where it's considered by a select committee. We are at the beck and call and mercy of the committee and Parliament as to how they deal with it, but hopefully Tania Unkevich and Winston Peters can sort of push it onto the agenda for us.
What are the objectives, Bob, of the petition?
So the petition says that woman is to be defined as adult human female in our laws, public policies and regulations, and we have actually penciled up a possible bill that could be used, which defines adult human female, talks about the definition of female and male based on either biological reproductive system or what they would have had if they didn't have a developmental or genetic anomaly. We also talk about woman and girl, referring to human females, man and boy, human males, what a mother and father is. But then more important part is that it would require that effectively there are distinctions between the sexes in areas of schools, sports, prisons, domestic violence centres, rape crisis, changing rooms, toilets, basically wherever safety or privacy is a factor. And look, in this whole debate, it's really been around the safety and privacy of females, because I don't see any female boxer desperate to get in the men's boxing ring at the Olympics.
No, for obvious reasons.
I don't see any female desperate to go into a boy's toilet for good reason, because we've been in their pools.
Yeah, don't want to go there.
You know, this is directly, and you know, women don't want to go into a men's prison. So this is directly affecting women and girls. And so this is about safety and privacy where it's important to them.
With the petition, are there stories, testimonials? I know when we did our petition, the people's terms, we had stories. Stories are so powerful, testimonials.
They are.
And I know that affected people because I've had that feedback.
Yeah, it's not often the best argument that wins. It's the best story. We did have statements from women who did say that they wanted privacy and safety. We're a smaller country. There's international evidence of where there are concerns about women and men in women's prisons, especially men who have committed sexual crimes and then put in a woman's prison because of how they identify. There is a concern around schools and how they're dealing with it. Obviously, there's concerns around sports at the moment. I mean, there are stories, as we know, of girls who say they hold on for the whole day and don't use the toilet at school because they don't want to confront a boy in the changing room or the toilet. So, look, if any of your listeners do know these stories, we would love to hear them because, as you say, the evidence is important. We're raising the flag because of the potential for what can happen and for some of the anecdotal evidence we have, but it's always good to get more. And if people are aware, then we'd love to hear that.
How do you respond to critics, Bob, who argue that your campaign excludes or marginalizes transgender individuals by using an outdated definition of woman?
Well, there's no malice towards them. It's simply saying that in the interests of safety and privacy of the whole, then then women on the whole should need to be protected and they want their privacy. Look, one of the bill that was put up by Tanya Ankovic said that there should be, in the same way that we deal with a person with a wheelchair, where they have there's a special toilet which is slightly larger and enables them to be able to use the toilet. The bill by Tanya Ankovic said that it would be explicitly male, explicitly female, and then there would be another one which could be used by anybody. And look, that seemed to be a win-win situation, but we have made a rod for our own back by not clearly defining it. For those who want to identify as the other sex, it still means that they need to use the toilet that aligns with their biological sex. That's been the case for hundreds of years, and we need to act with protection for everybody. And see, this is one of the arguments that sort of bugs me a little bit around the whole boxing issue, is that people were concerned about the poor Algerian and being the victim. And sure, they are the victim because they've got a disorder of sexual development. But at the same time, nobody is thinking about the other victims, the Italian female boxer who, you know, spent the last couple of years aiming to get to the Olympics only to go into the ring with a genetic male. So, you know, we need to look at both sides of this and understand that women can be the victims of it as well in terms of their safety and privacy. And often we don't hear that side. And unfortunately, some of the corporate media have been complicit in this and not allowing a debate and basically saying, oh, well, if you don't agree with this self-identification, then you're just a transphobe. Where in fact, what we want is a win-win situation where you protect the safety and privacy of both.
23,000 signatures. Did you have any expectation of how many you would actually get?
Well, when we did the Don't Divide Us, which was against the mandates, we actually got 89,000.
Okay, wow.
Which was a pretty hot topic, of course, at the time. And there was a lot of energy. The mandates obviously were directly affecting so many people that there was a lot of energy around it, and you can get that. And the difference was we were able to get full-page ads for that campaign, Whereas for this one, we've had to, we were restricted in terms of what we could say. And of course, the media have totally avoided it. They didn't, we had one, I think the Stuff outlet turned up to the presentation on when we went to Parliament, but there was no other media and Stuff didn't even report it. So basically, the legacy media have completely ignored this petition. They would have rushed down if there was a petition signed by 1,000 people asking for a transgender toilet in some, you know, like a Mukau or something. But they just don't want to have this narrative coming through that actually we need to go back to biological reality. So there has been, you know, just no media coverage, no special links in the media to encourage people to sign it. So we knew we were up against it, but I still think, you know, 23,500 is basically a statement that there's a large chunk of New Zealand that are concerned about it. And look, backed up by our polling that we've done through Courier Market Research, we're finding, because we've been polling for about 6 years now, the trend is clearly that New Zealanders are becoming increasingly...
They're waking up, are they? They're waking up.
They are waking up because they started off with this, we want to be nice, you know, we don't want to be hateful, we feel for these people, and that's true, but they're also seeing the consequences in terms of what's happening in the sports fields, what's happening in schools and kids being confused, and what's happening, you know, just some of the silly cases that are coming out, and people are concerned with that. They just don't think it... especially as it relates to children. What an adult does in their own time is different, but for children to ram this ideology to them from an age of about 7 or 8 is just shocking.
Bob, how close do you think we are to some tipping point when it comes back to some semblance of what I would call reality?
Well, I think we reached that tipping point when the CAS report came out, because that proved beyond a doubt, it backed up all the other research that... the transgender model, especially as it relates to our young people, is flawed, it's problematic, and it causes more harm. It also challenged the whole trope around suicide, that if you don't do what your child says, that they're just going to commit suicide. In fact, what it showed was that actually it does more harm by going through with their feelings and chemicalizing them and castrating them. And so that CAS report certainly tipped it. The research just continues to come out. The problem is that while European countries and the UK are reviewing and pausing their treatment of gender-confused children...
We're not doing that. We're not.
And in fact, I did an OIA to Matt Ducey, who sort of oversees this area for National MP, Minister of Mental Health, and I said, what official advice have you sought or received on the CAS report? It came back and said, zilch.
So okay. They
just don't want to know about the CAS report. Now, the Ministry of Health, hopefully in their review of puberty blockers, will take some consideration into it. But I just thought that really speaks volumes in terms of the National Party just don't want to go near this issue. They are allergic to social issues like this, and therefore... you know, we're pretty grateful that at least New Zealand First are willing to stand up on this one.
The other parties can only hold out so long, surely, Bob.
No, I think, I mean, in the House, yes, last week, Chris Hipkins was going on about why is Winston Peters, so he was attacking Winston Peters around the whole boxing issue for saying, you know, this is an outcome of when we confuse biological sex. And Chris Hipkins was saying, you know, why is Winston Peters so obsessed with genitalia? Well, I mean, that's
immature. It's infantile, isn't it? I mean, it makes me cringe, man.
Well, it makes you cringe, but also it's so hypocritical because Chris Hipkins and the Labour Party and the left in general are so obsessed with gender and sexuality.
Projection.
Projection. Oh, of course it is. It's just tone deaf. So... yeah, I don't know. The current crop of politicians, I mean, you've got to remember that 3 years ago, the entire parliament, both left-wing and right-wing parties, voted 100%, so 120 votes, to change birth certificates to identification. So you can put whatever you want on your birth certificate. That shows how left, socially left liberal our parliament is, and I'm not sure it's improved. New Zealand First will certainly drag it back a little bit, but whether it's enough to get some common sense around the treatment of our young people is the big question.
To finish up, Bob, the Cannabis Museum opened Friday, just gone, in Auckland. It was originally in Dunedin, but it's now in Auckland. Mm. Any comment to make about that?
That's my mate, Abe. He actually, when we did a road trip through Christchurch with Alex Berenson, who's a ex-New York Times reporter, Abe turned up and wanted to ask all these questions and sort of wouldn't shut up. But anyway, he was quite fun. He's nice enough. But look, if he's doing a museum, maybe he thinks that the whole issue is history. And so I'd agree with him there. I think we dodged a bullet in 2020 when we voted no on the cannabis referendum. And I think the more time that evolves is only in our favour, because the evidence coming out of all the areas that have legalised, like Colorado and Oregon and others, actually shows that New Zealand made the best decision. I mean, they are all the promises that were made about how great it would be for tax money and how you'd get rid of the black market and how it wouldn't increase youth use and how it wouldn't affect mental health. I mean, it's just been proved to be a complete, pardon the pun, smokescreen for big marijuana, basically taking over where big tobacco left off.
Do you say toking or taking?
Taking over. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but we've got to look at a bit of history here, Bob. I mean, we've all dabbled, and I've known plenty of people, and they're all getting on with their lives, no problem. I know that people are affected by all sorts of drugs, including alcohol. But, you know, the background, that's what Abe was pointing out, the background of cannabis is shamanistic. There are religious rituals that are attached to it. I remember visiting Amsterdam back in the day with the cafes there. Well, the Netherlands hasn't fallen over. I used it for pain killing and cancer treatment. And there's, I think Abe mentioned a racist element perhaps to it too. And we got it here in the war years when the jazz musos were coming over, African-American jazz musos, to entertain the troops. They bought cannabis and that got this sort of hysteria going. So we do have to think about the history here rather than just blatantly draw a line over drug bad.
Well, I think you've raised a couple of issues there very quickly. Firstly, Amsterdam has actually backtracked, and in fact, it got so bad that they actually stopped selling to international people, and actually was only for locals because it was getting so dodgy in the areas where the tinny houses were. So they've definitely taken some backward isn't the right. Better steps in terms of restricting it. You mentioned the medicinal aspect. I totally agree with you. And that was one thing that, I mean, that was a smokescreen around the whole referendum as well, because they wanted to legalize recreational use, but they tried to use medicinal marijuana as a smokescreen for legalizing recreational use. Look, if there is evidence that medicinal marijuana and the research that I did showed that it was had some benefits around nausea relating from cancer treatment for certain spasticity issues, then medicinal marijuana, and sure, do the research on that for sure. But that's
I can tell you firsthand.
Yeah, so that's not involving the THC. That's the CBD. And look, for sure, there will be benefits around that. Let's test those and let's make them available. But that's not recreational use in terms of growing and getting stoned. You mentioned about the whole alcohol thing. I agree. I mean, we've tried to persuade ourselves that if we legalize cannabis, we can regulate it. How are we doing with regulating alcohol? Have we got social harm from alcohol? We've got massive harm. So therefore, why add another social harm to it? And it's only the illegality of drugs that actually keeps its use down. If anybody thinks that decriminalizing all drugs works, go to Oregon. In fact, Oregon are now wanting to recriminalize the drugs that they had decriminalized. They decriminalized all drugs, and it's been a major, major problem. The other point you made was around racism. Look, the problem is that, unfortunately, the stats I've seen is that Māori disproportionately use drugs, and so therefore they're more likely to be caught or be breaking the law. Now, that's not racism. That's simply applying the law somehow.
I think I was referring to the hysteria that was whipped up at the time. You know, the reefer madness.
Yeah, but I think the problem for the whole marijuana debate is that when people think of, and we can say this, Paul, because of our age, is that when people think about marijuana, they're thinking about Woodstock weed or your parents' pot. We're dealing with a totally different product now. We're not dealing with a vintage car. We're dealing with a Ferrari in terms of the concentrates that you can get and the vaping and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Always good to catch up with you, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Good being with you.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.